Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Good morning, family. How are we? Fantastic. All righty, let's grab a seat and let's dive into it, because when I'm in Pneuma, they work me hard. I've got to go to the city. Thank you, Pastor JJ, Paulina. God bless you and all the team. And what a joy it is for Lynn and I to be here. If we've never met, I actually preached in this campus way back when it was being planted, and I used to come out here when you were meeting in the picture theater. Anybody meeting in the cinema back in those days? Yeah, oh, look at you all. How faithful are you? This is a good group. And you know, way back, I used to be in Youth Alive. I drop that in regularly so people know that I was once young. You know, in my 20s, I was preaching at Richmond AOG. Praise the Lord. And I used to come, you know, and I don't know, how many of you remember back then, you'd preach, and they had all these seats with all the elders and the staff behind you. I'm telling you, that's not intimidating, is it? No, a young guy, I mean, my knees used to be banged together like castanets. You know, I was like, ah. And so here we are, nearly 40 years later. And just in case you don't know, for the next little while, I'm your senior pastor. And I don't expect it to be a long time. But as they say, it won't be a long time, but it will be a good time. And I'm here for a purpose. I'm here to see this church just find a new season in God. I'm here to help you with your structures and with all that goes with the finances and everything else. But most importantly, I'm here to help your leaders love you and lead you. And we're going to see a new day in God. Amen. And so Lynn and I pastor a beautiful church in Brisbane. It's nearly as old as yours. It's 95 years old. In 1995, it's 95 years old. And in 2025, we're in now. Hello. 2025, we're 95 years old. We're planted in 1930 by William Booth Clibborn, who's William Booth's grandson. Planted our church in a tent, and we were originally Glad Tidings Tabernacle. I know, right? It's now called Hope Center for obvious reasons. And it's just been a blessing to minister there. And in recent times, your leadership called us to just come and help and love and be a mum and a dad. My wife Lynn is here with me. You know, even when people are cranky at me, they love her. And so I just bring her. And she just makes everything good. And so we're just going to see how God just guides us and leads us. And literally, if I've done my job well, you'll enter into a new season under new leadership, and then I'll just vanish. How good's that? So, you know, there are times the Lord takes hold of your heart and he just drops a word in your life for a season, for a moment, for a place. And the word that I have over Pneuma Church is simply this: restoration. Say restoration. I heard Pastor JJ just use that word as he was releasing you guys into your future, and we're cheering you on. Go and change the world in Jesus' name. The word restoration, I believe it hangs over this house. And as I've prayed for this beautiful church, Pneuma, I felt the Lord gave me a clear word. And the clear word is this: I have already begun my work of restoration within my people. So I'm not here to prime a pump. I'm not here to change anything. I'm here to simply flow with what the Lord is doing by his Spirit in this house. And I've got such a conviction about that on the times that I will be here, and we're going to try and organize it so that I can get to the east and to the city and broadcast from the city. Can't promise it. I, too, am a man under authority, and basically the authority rests with the media team. But we'll see how we go. And I would love to regularly come and visit you. And when we do, we're going to continue on this theme of restoration. We're going to look at different expressions of what the Lord wants to do amongst his people in this season. And as I've just been pondering it, the Lord took me back to a wonderful little book in the Old Testament, a prophetic book called Haggai. It's only got two chapters in it, but it's a powerful, powerful book. And I call the book of Haggai the book of unfinished things. Unfinished things. You got any handyman jobs that aren't yet quite finished? All right. Wives, just wave your hand and point at him. Yeah. There is marriage counselling in the foyer afterwards. We've all got stuff we haven't finished. I remember driving down the highway one day, and I, you know, even as a young boy, I had in my heart this crazy little desire to own a red Mini. I know, it's mad. I grew up in Ipswich and we're kind of rev heads, V8s, GT Falcons, I owned one. But it's still in my heart, I had this desire to own a red Mini. And I'm driving down the highway one day and on the side of the road, there it was, red Mini, for sale, $600. I said, there really is a God. So I pulled up, I rang the guy, he said, yeah, come on over. I went over to his house, he said, look, it's a great little car. It's just got one problem. It doesn't have reverse gear. I said, we could fix that. I rang a mate of mine who's a mechanic. I said, how do you fix a gearbox? He said, Wayne, Minis, the best way to fix Minis, whether it's the motor or the gearbox, is you drop it out and you lift the whole body over the top. So I went to my mate's house. We did that. And it was kind of like pulling on a thread, this car. The more you pulled, the more you found that was wrong with it. This thing was a lemon. Oh, my gosh. And on and on. And in the end, his garage was literally filled with nuts and bolts who were once a red Mini. And we pulled it completely apart. And how many know when you're on a project like that, there are three things that need to align? Time, money, and enthusiasm. And I never had all three. For almost 2 years, and until a mate of mine says, Wayne, this thing's got to get out of my shed. And so we finally got it together. We got it registered, and only a couple of weeks after it was registered, it was back on the highway saying, for sale, $600. It took me a long time to finish that project, and interestingly, this book is about unfinished thing and the most important thing. We've all got unfinished things. But in this season, I believe the Lord wants us to prioritize the completion of what he wants to do in his house. But I also believe that he doesn't just want to do it in his house, he wants to do it for your house. And that might involve your dreams. It might involve desires and plans and even promises that you made God. It's time to finish the things that the Lord started. So in the book of Haggai, we pick it up 70 years after the captivity of Babylon, and the exiles returned from Jerusalem, and they began to build the temple. But they stopped. And for 15 years, this construction site lay in ruins. 15 years. Started, lost interest. Started, got distracted. How many know? All around our cities, there are half-finished building programs. There are sites that are filled now with building material and weeds are growing up and vermin are starting to get there. Could you picture? This was once the grand temple, the amazing thing, the center point of Israel, the focus of their worship. It now lay in ruin, half built and filled with weeds. Along comes this prophet called Isaiah. Not much is known about him, except that for 38 verses, that's all this book contains, 38 verses in two chapters. 14 times, Haggai reminds us that he is a spokesman for the Lord Almighty. And it's serious. Now, it is thought that Haggai may be, by the time we read his prophecy, he was an old man. He was most likely, according to most Bible teachers, he was most likely alive when Solomon's temple was all in its place. He knew the splendor. He knew how magnificent it was. He could talk with his friends about the good old days when this place was amazing before it had experienced all the damage. But he had a word for the new day. So open with me the book of Haggai, Don't be too embarrassed. If you've got your Bible with you, go to the New Testament, turn left. It's not far down the road. If not, we're going to put it on the screen. So we're going to do Bible karaoke. Here we go. Haggai chapter 1. We're going to pick it up in the second verse of the book. This is what the Lord, there I told you, he's speaking on behalf of the Lord Almighty. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people, oh, hey, whoa, hang on. Have you ever got home, guys, and your wife says, I want you to talk to your son or that boy? How many know the father is ticked when he says, these people, these are his people called by, he says, these people. God is not happy, Jan. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you to yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruin? There are many people in that era that can remember what it was, and there were those that were part of getting things started, but for some reason, distraction, disappointment, disillusionment, all those things came in, and they just stopped. And they would have a conversation around the community and said, one day, say one day we'll get back to bringing this place to where it should be. One day. It's called procrastination. Procrastination, putting it off until tomorrow. But I'm here today to tell you that it's not too late. I'm here today to tell you this is the day of restoration. I'm here today with the word of the Lord for this house and your house. It is a day to see God restore everything, to bring it to not only what it used to be, but so much more in Jesus' name. But there's one condition. There's one condition. Here's what it is. We have to make him and his house a priority. Him and his house, the head and the body. The Bible tells me the words of Jesus in Matthew 6:33. He says, if you seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all the other things. Trouble is a lot of people get distracted by life and everything that comes with it, and they seek the other things and they miss the kingdom. But this is a time for us to seek the Lord, prioritize his house, and get ready for a season of restoration. So God stirs his people up through the word of the prophet, and that prophet brings the people to a place of actually committing to restarting this construction program. Now, how many know that it's hard enough to start from scratch, but when you've started and abandoned a project for 15 years, it's actually sometimes easier to build a house from scratch than start to renovate. But this whole project rebooted in 24 days. 24 days later, something happened in the hearts of the people. I can tell you, something is happening in the hearts of the people in Numa, and especially in Numa East. We are ready for a new day in God. Come on, let's get on with the journey. Let's get on with the journey of faith. Let's get filled with the Holy Ghost and see what God wants to do in his house and our house in Jesus' name. So the people committed. In chapter 2, the promise of the Lord to them and to us is this. Read with me. Chapter 2, verse 6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations. I want you to catch this line. And what is desired by all nations? Who's desired by all nations? Jesus. Well, he will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord. I love this promise. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, declares the Lord. Here's a promise for those of us that have been part of Numa for a long, long time. Are you ready? The glory of this present house will be, say it with me, greater. Greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, says the Lord Almighty. What a word for that day. What a word for this day. The word for that day was about the rebuilding of a natural structure. But the word of the Lord for this day is that the desire of the nation, Jesus Christ, the desire of all the nations, he will come and he will do a new work. It's not just the natural structure. It's the house that he said he would build. Matthew 16:18. Jesus, the desire of all nations, says, I will build my church. And I love how the message puts it. It will be energetic and unstoppable. That's the house he wants to build. That's the house he wants to build. He wants to fill that house with his glory. I noticed that prophecy. And I feel so prophetic. I don't remember when I last looked or taught from the book of Haggai, but I got a word for this house. And here it is. Here's the promise. In this house and in your house, there will be prosperity. I am sick and tired of reading the newspaper, turning on the news, or having the radio play in my car, and somebody talks about the cost of living. And we're all supposed to get into panic mode. No. Can I tell you something? I know what's happening in society, but we're people from another place. We're people of the kingdom. We're people that we serve El Shaddai. Come on. We serve Jehovah Jireh. We serve the God of plenty. We serve our Lord who is our provider. Amen. And I'm believing for you, if you've had your business attacked, if you've had things eroded in this current economy, I am believing that this is a day of God restoring to you all that you've lost and more. He says, the silver is mine. The gold is mine, and what the father has, he wants to give to his kids. I see a release of provision. I see a release of the of what is needed to fulfill the vision. I love the heart of this house for revival, but if we only ever keep it within these four walls, it is useless. What God wants to do in his house, he wants to do through his house to a hurting, broken, dying world. And let me tell you something, that requires resource. But the Father has what we need to fulfill his mission. I'm going to be honest. Newman Church needs some financial miracles this year. We need them. But guess what? They're there. They're there. And I have discovered that when God begins to move and his glory begins to be manifest in a new way, and when we are in unity, kingdom resources begin to flow. I'm going to tell you, I see the greatest days of resourcing the house ahead of us, not behind us. Come on, it's a day. He says, I'm also going to restore my glory. The glory, the word in Hebrews is kobod. It means the weighty splendor of the Lord. It's tangible. It's thick. It's rich. He says, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do something in this day. I'm going to do something in this generation that hasn't even been seen by previous generations. As I said earlier, this church is 100 years old. Come on, 100 years old. We've got to celebrate this year. 100 years old. Lynn's mum's 100. Still lives in her own house. Oh, I'm going to tell you. This girl, she's going to be 150 for the genetic. Her dad died at 99 and 7 months. Her mum's 100, still lives in her own house. That's pretty, and it's remarkable. In a world where society talks about the church declining, I'm going to say it's amazing to see Pentecostal churches that are 100 years old. And this, I know a lot of your history. I know your role in a church and from the church that you've done across this state, the nation, and the nations. It's remarkable. I know of the seasons of revival. I know the great stories of C.O. Greenwood. I know them. It's amazing. I'm going to tell you something. The word of the Lord is that the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than than what's happened before. Every other move of God that has happened, I believe, is going to be superseded by what God wants to do in this day. I'm a preacher's kid. I grew up in this ministry. And I've heard a lot of stories about the good old days. Can I tell you something? Have a look at me. I was there. And they were good days. But I do believe with all my heart, that the greatest days are still ahead. Come on, let's keep believing for so much more. Let's believe for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. And that's the promise of a restored house. But he also says, and in that house, here's a third promise. You're going to see resource, you're going to see his glory, and you're going to experience peace. You're going to experience peace. How many receive that? If I can be brutally honest, there have been times in my life when I feel like I've been living in a war zone. My old dad, Lynn and I became senior pastors of our first church at 27. And I remember my old dad, pretty rough old guy. He came when everybody's handshaking me and clapping, and, you know, it's our first church. He shakes my hand. He says, mate, congratulations. He said, leadership's very special, but they only put you out in front to get a better shot at you. And then he turned and walked away. And so we've led churches and we lead this great movement and all sorts of other things. And I've discovered that literally you put your hand up to do things for God, you actually enter a war zone. The Bible actually says no weapon formed against you will prosper. It doesn't say no weapons to be formed. Weapons are formed. They're very real. But they won't prosper. And there have been things that literally haven't been really that God-honoring that have happened in this house. There have been things that have happened relationally that probably as we look back, we say they're unfortunate. But we're going to move on now in Jesus' name. We're going to move into a season of peace. We're going to lay down the stuff. We're not going to be used by any force of darkness. Can I tell you something? Even Christians can open the door to hell. If you don't believe me, New Testament, read the Apostle Paul's teaching, Ephesians chapter 4. It says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, because if you do, you give place to the devil. I actually believe that most spiritual problems that ministries like ours experience happen as the enemy gets in and he gets in through doors that swing on the hinges of unresolved conflict. So it's time for us to be godly. It's time for us to start having courageous conversations and ask for forgiveness. It's time for us to be kind to one another. I had a meeting with members in Numa just a week and a half ago, and I said, the world begins today. It was January 31. Maybe some of us have got some disappointments. Maybe some of us have got some offense. You know what? If we've got offense and we start to justify ourselves just for a moment, turn our eyes to the Jesus who hung on a cross that we were singing about before and hear what he said. Father, forgive them. We're going to be people of forgiveness. We're going to be people who exercise kindness. I get a saying in our ministry, it says, kindness is a superpower. And it's so easy, when we go through difficult times to justify our behavior, justify our speech. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever been wrong as you've debated a question in your mind? I remember sometimes, and when I see that, Lynn, I tell you what, and I'm going, I'm so right, and you have this conversation. We've never convinced ourselves we're wrong. But sometimes we can be right in principle and wrong in spirit. And I'm not here to win a debate. I'm here to win a brother. I'm here to win a sister. I'm here to close the loops. Because in this house, we want the move of God. The one word I hear out of Newman for the last few years is revival. You want a revival? Start with restoration of your attitudes. Start with restoration of your relationships. And that's when we're going to see his glory. And that's where we're going to see his miracle power. In Jesus' name. So here's the big question. In this day when we want his joy, his rest, his restoration, what does he require of you and me? Well, let's dive into it. What is God looking for in this season? Well, it's actually the same as in Haggai's day. Here it is, number one, holiness. Holiness is not just some old school, old-fashioned thing. Holiness has got nothing to do with dress codes, whether women wear lipstick, guys have earrings. It's got nothing to do with any of that stuff. It's to do with the state of our heart, our hands, and what's on our lips. It's carried by a humility that's reflected in our actions and our conversations. A few days ago, we met in your city campus, and we made this a prayer for this season. It comes from King David's writings in Psalm 19. He said, Lord, let the words of my mouth... Can you imagine what your marriage would be like? Your family would be like? Your workplace would be like? Our small groups, our Sundays. Can you imagine what it would be like if every one of us, as we got out of bed each morning, said, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. See, it's not what goes into your mouth, Jesus said, that corrupts you. I actually think if we put in the Amplified, there are a few things like broccoli and Brussels sprouts, but we'll move on. It's not what goes in, it's what comes out. See what James talks about, the tongue and our words, they carry spirit. Wow. We can build up, we can pull down. We can cause things to come alive, or they can die with the words of our mouth. So, Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation, Lord, whatever comes out of this well, I pray that it's healing, it's encouraging, it blesses, never hurts, in Jesus' name. Let my thought life, let my actions, let my service be that which glorifies my God. Second thing he's looking for is a love and a passion for him and his house. A passion. Passion for his house that's so much bigger. I know we've got a building program going on, but a passion that's bigger than the building program. Could you imagine if this ministry multiplied and multiplied again with lost people finding Jesus? That's our heart. That's our heart for this house. Where does that start? It starts with a surrender. Surrender to his lordship. Where our time and our treasure and our talent and sometimes our opinions and our disappointments, they're all laid down. It's for Jesus. You know, August 1 of 2000, so it's 25 years almost that Lynn and I took on this church in the city. It's so much like Richmond City Campus. It was in a broken down part of the city. It was once the grand part of Brisbane. Fortitude Valley, it's called. It was where the commercial hub was, the retail hub. It had died, and it was now just red light shops and horrible community vibe. It was just broken down, and the church started to reflect the community. And we arrived, there was just a smaller congregation in a building covered by graffiti. And we'd just left Youth Alive. I literally left Youth Alive on the Saturday night, did my last rally, and started on the Monday in this church. And we went from, you know, big auditoriums and big stadiums preaching to thousands of kids to this broken down little place. I felt like I rocked up to Haggai's house. And I took with us just one musician, and I got him aside and I said, David, I want you to write a song. I want it to be a prophetic song about what God is going to do in this place. So I preached. And then at the end of the message on my first Sunday, he got up and he sung this song. I get emotional. He said, Lord, I love this house. And he begins to sing and said, Lord, the song just kept saying, I love this house. And then the chorus said, this is where the miracle begins. Today, it's flourishing, it's large, it's blessed in so many ways. But it started with, Lord, I love this house. I meet so many people, I love Jesus. I'm just really struggling with the church. I'm really angry. You know, what's happened? Can we just lay that all down? If we love the head, we've got to love the body. Passion for him and a passion for his bride. And what he wants to do is going to start in the hearts of people that love Jesus and are passionate. We obey scripture, what it says about our tithes and our offerings. We sow sacrificially, because we know that we're sowing into something that matters to him, and we know that he's only got one plan for the planet. It's his church. It's a message of hope brought through his people, the community of God called the Church of Jesus. And we love it. And the third thing I think is a very significant part of this season, and I know I'm singing to the choir, but I need to remind you that a part of the restoration is going to involve a hunger for the presence of God. God fills hungry people. God fills hungry people, people that know what it means to pray. It's a priority. Worship. Worship that's private and worship that's corporate. We prioritize his house. We're glad when they said, let's go to the house. Not, oh, is there anything else happening on Sunday? No. And I nudged Lynn a couple of times and said, this is a remarkable church. Okay, we've had a couple of tough times. And it's got humans in it. What else did you expect? Come on. Let's be glad when they said. Let's be the early. Let's get here early. Let's get here early enough to find a car park. Let's be in the time of prayer. Let's have the garment of praise on and let's get ready for what God wants to do. Hearts ready to receive his word, hands lifted, because even as we praise, miracles begin to happen in Jesus' name. A hunger for his presence. You know, that's a sign of a house that's in a great new season of restoration. If I can hark back to glad tidings when we arrived, this is what happened, JJ. Everybody, 80% plus of the people would arrive halfway through the first song, and more than half of them left before the last song was sung. They didn't even like each other. So I said, okay. First thing I had to do was get rid of Nescafe out of the foyer. We put in decent coffee. And we just saw the joy of the Lord fill that house. And the miracles unfolded. And we're going to see this. We're going to open a new building here this year, I guess. What a year. New building, centenary anniversary. Come on, come on. There's great things God has in store for Pneuma. But our God, who is the great restorer, wants to bring new levels of glory to his house. We believe that, but I also believe he wants to do it for your house. There are people in this room today, and your own house has experienced some devastating blows, physically, financially, relationally. It's sad and it happens. I'm only halfway through this message, so we might finish it next time, because there's so much that God... Let me just give you a thought. I'm going to be real quick, because I kept coming back to this thought. Can I just show you what God wants to do for marriage, family, ministry, business, everything? I'll just show you, all right? As the book of Haggai comes to an end, there's another prophecy. It's almost like it's almost over. Have you ever sat in a movie, and sometimes I go to Legal and goes, just hang on a minute, and all the credits start to come up, and there's something at the end, all right? This is like the book of Haggai. We get to the end, and in verse 23 of chapter 2, it says, on that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, God, this is amazing, I'll take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel. He said, I will make you like a signet ring. He didn't just say, well, let me emphasize the word. He says, I'll make you like my signet ring that I've chosen for you, declares the Lord. I want you to notice, he didn't say, I'll give you. He says, I will make you my signet. You know what a signet ring is in that culture? It's a sign of authority. It's engraved with the king's seal. So who's this to? Zerubbabel. He's the son, it says, of Shealtiel. Now, Shealtiel's only mentioned in Scripture a few times. In the Old Testament, he's only mentioned as the father of Zerubbabel. But in the New Testament, we find him in a very interesting place. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, we find him, interestingly, in the genealogies of Jesus. After the exile to Babylon, it says, Matthew 1:12, Jeconiah, who was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. So why is this important in the context of restoration? We've been talking so much about God's house. Let me talk to you for a minute about your house and your life. Jeconiah is also known as Jehoiakim, right? I know it's complicated. It's like John being known as Jono. It's okay, move on. Now, he was the king of Judah for a short time, but he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He was corrupt. So the Lord cuts him off. He's captured and he's imprisoned by the Babylonians for 36 years. Jeremiah, who was a real fun guy, he prophesies against him. Chapter 22 of Jeremiah, he said, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, even if you, Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, if you were a signet ring on my hand, I'd still pull you off. He lost all his authority. But gets worse. He doesn't only lose his authority, he loses his legacy. This is what the Lord says. Verse 30, record this man as if he were childless a man who will not prosper in his lifetime, for none of his offspring will prosper. None of them will ever sit on the throne of David or rule in Judah. But here's the deal. We just discovered Jehoiakim wasn't childless. He had Shealtiel, who had Zerubbabel. And maybe generations felt like blessing was robbed from their family forever because of something that somebody did. The word of the Lord came through a gracious God. And he says, it's time to not only restore the house, but it's time to restore your life and your family. This is amazing. 80 years later, Zerubbabel's governor of Judah. I tell you, the music's starting to build on this movie, right? Zerubbabel's governor of Judah, he's living for God and building God's house, and God sends a prophet with a message for that house to the grandson of the man who lost it all. This is what he says, you restore my house, I'll restore yours. You restore my house, I'm going to restore yours. And the prophecy isn't, I'm going to give you a signet ring, I'm going to make you a signet ring. I'm going to make you. Not only is I'm going to give you something, I'm going to make you. Hey, Zerubbabel, you were cut off because of stuff that had happened, but you are now being grafted back into the royal line. It's not all lost. It's not all over. Restoration's coming to my house and your house. Here's my word for you today. Last chapter's not written. It's not all over. We have a God that can do so much so quick. I have a word for our nation and the movement that we're part of. God promised me what used to take 10 years will take 3. We're in a season of an accelerated work of His Spirit. But don't just expect to watch what He does in the church. Expect to see it within the four walls of your own house. Expect to see it in your life. If He can do it for Zerubbabel, He can do it for you. It's because, man, there's so much here. But look at this. 500 years later, Jesus is born. Heaven's signet ring is born. And Zerubbabel is part of the redemption story. Brought back in by a God of restoration. And you thought it was all lost. Maybe you've talked about, you know, Richmond and Bridge Church. They were good days. I get it. There were some amazing things. But I've got to believe that God's still got so much more and even greater things. The greater glory, the greater outpouring, the greater provision than we've ever seen before. It's a day of miracles. But we just got to get our hearts right. We got to seek Him, prioritize His house. Guard our heart, because that's where it all starts. And then get ready for the adventure that happens through the work of the God of restoration. Would you bow your heads for a moment? In a moment, Pastor JJ is going to come. I feel the Lord wants to do some works in our heart. I think there's marriages He wants to start a new work in. I think there's some dreams that He wants to restore, ministries, things that we thought were lost. Maybe you just need to prepare your heart and say, God, this was a word for me. But I need to talk to some people that once were walking with Jesus and you got disillusioned, despondent. Maybe you got angry at God because He didn't answer the prayer the way you wanted Him to. Maybe somebody hurt you. Maybe you failed Him or yourself or others. Today's a day of restoration. Today is the day when He makes all things new. Maybe you're somebody that's here today. You maybe somebody's been just coming and checking it out. You may be been listening to some stuff, podcasts, Christian music, maybe even reading the Bible and having some quiet prayers with God. But you've never ever got to that point of saying, God, I need you in my life. For the first time, or the first time ever, you say, God, can you change my life from the inside out? Can you give me a fresh start? Can you break the power of the things that have been holding me? Can you rebuild my life? Come into my life and help me. If this is your call, I'm talking about the state of your heart. I'm talking about the state of your relationship with God. And you want to say, this is me, Wayne. My heart's telling me this is my moment to respond. I'm going to pray for you and then I'm going to leave the stage, head to the city. But you sense the work of the Spirit here right now. Today is the day, the Bible says. Today. No, don't put it off. Today is the day of salvation.
That's you. Just raise your hand and say, Wayne, you're talking to me. I need to get my life right with God. I'm going to wait 10 seconds and pray for everybody in their seat. Say, that's me today. Just raise your hand straight up and look at me. Good on you. God bless you, and you too. And you. God bless you. Others, just quickly, across this room. Thank you and you. God bless you. If that's you, if you've raised your hand or you wish you had, just place it upon your heart. May you know the restoring work of God. If you've been away, may you know His acceptance in coming home. If today is your first day of coming back, I pray you would know what it means to be forgiven and accepted and changed by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. We agree for that in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you,
church. Amen. Can we hear it for Pastor Wayne?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.